إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about the criteria for selecting of a mentor, a murabbi, a muslih. And the first one I mentioned yesterday, which is ikhlas unniya and ikhlas fil amal. So these two things, sincerity in the work and sincerity in the niyyah, are the primary criteria. And as I mentioned, that is number one, because without that, nothing else is possible. Second, very important criterion is to judge to the extent possible the ta'alluq of the person with Allah. Now, this is a bit tricky because ta'alluq ma'a Allah is a factor also of the person's personal zuhd. In how much salah, how much ta'ajjud, how much tilawat al-Quran, how much fasting and so on. And a lot of that you will not know. And that's the reason why the importance of spending time with the people, with the person, or with the people who you are looking at to see if they, if you want to be their proteges. And that is because some of this stuff, like for example, if your murabbi is praying tahajjud, how do you know? You don't know that. If he tells you, then he has disqualified himself. It's as simple as that. Because tahajjud is between the person and his Rabb. You don't advertise tahajjud. So if somebody says, I am praying tahajjud every day, or, and there are many ways in which people say things. He may not actually say, I am praying tahajjud every day, but he might say, I make dua for you every day in tahajjud, which is one way of saying that I am praying tahajjud. So, it is for you to judge. And that is the reason why people used to go and spend time in the company of shuyukh. And when I say spend time in the company, those days were different. And living society was different also, because you actually could go and spend time in the house of the person. I have done that in my childhood with one of our shuyukh. We used to go and stay there for days together. And there was this house, there was a masjid, and there was a covered courtyard in between. And we would go and sleep in the courtyard. We would pray in the masjid, sleep in the courtyard. At meal times, food would come from his house, so we would eat. Sometimes he would invite us inside, we would go and eat with him. Sometimes if he had some other guests or he was eating with his family, he would send food outside, we would eat outside, we would sit and talk and make zikr and so on. So the question of living with and staying with, now in the modern world that might not be so easy because people don't have those facilities, but it's your job. I mean, you are the one who needs it, so find a way. What is the taluk? Another very important thing of judging somebody's taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself set. Allah said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah said, the people among the people, the ones who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's displeasure the most, who have the most khashyat of Allah, are the ulama, are the people of knowledge. So, to be an alim, according to the criterion of the Quran, it is not required that you should be a graduate from this or that madrasa or Darul Uloom or university. It is not a requirement that you should be hafiz of the Quran. It is not a requirement that you should be a mufti or a sheikh or a mufassir or a muhaddith. The only requirement is that you must have khashyat of Allah. Now, khashyatullah is visible. Khashyatullah is visible in the actions, in the aqwal, afwal, amal of the person. So, if you look at a person and if you observe them closely, you can make out very clearly whether this person has the fear of Allah or not. Because somebody who has khashyatullah will not lie, will not cheat, will not indulge in ghibah. I mean, I'm saying simple outward thing. Will not indulge in ghibah, will not run behind name and fame, will treat people as per the sunnah from Isa Sallam. He will not treat rich people better, poor people not so good, and so on, and all of these many, many things. So the way to look for whether a person has ta'alluq with Allah is to also see how much khashyat of Allah they have. Third thing, and that's the reason why, again, as I said, spending time with the ulama is very important in whichever way you have. So their own personal zuhud. For example, fasting. Person who is fasting, think about this, a very simple way. A person who is fasting, according to the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is fasting every Monday and Thursday. So he's fasting 52 weeks, 2 days a week, that's 104 days of fasting that he has. Subtract from that the 8 days in Ramadan, add to it the days of Ramadan itself, plus the other fasts of 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, take 2 days of, Muharram, and so on. So you are looking roughly at one third of the year out of 365 days. You are looking roughly at 33% of the year the person is fasting. Now, obviously, somebody who is fasting for one third of the year will not be fat and flabby. I mean, that's one way of judging. I'm not saying that, every alim must necessarily be thin, but I can certainly say that every sahabi was thin. I mean, there are no reports of sahaba who were fat and flabby. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not fat and flabby. So I think this is another, probably, wallah alam, a criterion to see how somebody is fasting and has zuhud. Without zuhud, there is no khurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me be very clear about this. Kasrat sujood is one of the criteria of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, wasjud waqtarib, go into sajda and come close to me. So the issue of that, so khashyatullah, as visible in the person's life, the issue of zuhud. And the third very important thing is the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in life. Continuous awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes from the izharun niyyah. The awareness of the niyyah. Why am I doing what I am doing? This izharun niyyah is very, very important. And as Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi said in his kitab in Riyadu Salihin, al-izharun niyyah fi kulli amal wa fi kulli aqwal wa fi kulli ahwal al-barizat wal-khafi. He said the awareness of the niyyah in all the amal, in all the actions, in all the speech, and in all conditions that you might find yourself in, whether this is visible or it is hidden, al-barizat wal-khafi. So this izhar of niyyah is very, very important. I remember listening to one of the lectures of Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. He mentioned the wife of one of his teachers, and he said that this lady would cook her food. While she was cooking, she would be continuously reciting and sending salat and salam on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She would be reciting durood continuously while cooking with the intention of shifa. So it's not only reciting durood, she is doing this, reciting this durood with the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must put shifa in the food that she is cooking. So he said she used to take the trouble to go to the market to buy the best ingredients, make sure that the meat that she is buying is from animals which have been raised and slaughtered humanely in good condition, and so on and so forth. And plus, after all that, after preparing the ingredients, she used to cook the whole time. She would be sending salat and salam on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. With the intention of sifa. Now, this is the kind of awareness of ikhlas unniya, of izhar unniya, of the awareness of the amal, which is so critical. And then, wallah alam, maybe the lady was also an alima or whoever, but even if she wasn't, doesn't matter. This amal is alone is sufficient. Similarly, you have so many stories of people, of women who in their pregnancy, right through the pregnancy, would be continuously reciting Quran. And there are authenticated incidents where people have reported that the person said that when I was born, after that, when I started speaking and all that, I already knew quite a lot of Quran. So he knew many of the surahs of the Quran. Now, obviously, little baby, he was not making use. But it is the mother's recitation of the Quran throughout the pregnancy impregnated the Quran in the mind of the child, even when the child was a fetus, was a baby. So this kind of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu is the awareness of ta'alluq ma'Allah. Final criterion to judge whether somebody has ta'alluq is what is the condition of their dua. One is how much dua do they make? Do they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything first before doing anything else? And second thing is how maqbool and how accepted is his dua. Again, a tricky thing. There is no dua comes with a name written on it. So, and for example, if somebody is in trouble, he will make dua himself, he will tell all his friends, and so on and so forth. He might also tell that person. But so we don't know whose dua is accepted. But wallah alam, you will know if you think about it and so on and so forth. It doesn't mean that others' dua was rejected and only his was accepted. No, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts many duas. And dua is ibadah in itself. So whether dua is accepted in the sense of whether you got what you wanted or not is immaterial. The fact that you made dua itself is ibadah. So one must make, or one must always make dua, irrespective of whether you get what you want or not. But one of the ways of judging the ta'alluq of somebody is to see how maqbool is the dua of that individual, of that person. Once again, it is not something that anybody will tell you. If someone tells you my dua is accepted, then reject. Straight away. Totally reject. Because the whole point is that the murabbi must be somebody who is connected to Allah, not connected to you. So he must have no expectation from you whatsoever. He must not need your approval. He must not need your, the fact that you should like him. Nothing. He is connected to Allah. It's like a lamp. The lamp is connected to the source of power and the lamp is giving light. The lamp is not interested in who comes, who doesn't come. Even if the room is empty, the lamp is still giving light. If somebody comes, the person benefits from the lamp. The person who comes to the room does not benefit the lamp. The lamp is getting its benefit from somewhere else. And this is how the murabbi must be. He must get his benefit from Allah, not from you. If he takes from you, he cannot give you. Simple as that. If he takes from you, he cannot give you. So anyone who takes from others, especially people who make money out of Islam, who have made Islam into a business, la hawla quwwata illa billah. They need to make tawbah and they need to correct themselves. Totally the wrong way. You would never go to that person as a murabbi. You would be completely misguided if you do that. So be very clear. The person is connected to Allah. He's like a lamp in a room. Go and benefit from the light in the room. The lamp is on its own. Even if there is nobody, it still gives the light. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to find the right murabbiin and to benefit from them and help, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them to connect us to himself. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.